Welcome to Ordinarily Extraordinary Conversations with Women in STEM. I'm your host, Kathy Nelson, an electrical engineer who loves to hear and share stories of other women in STEM. Before we get to today's conversation, I want to share with you how you can support my podcast, which is independently produced. You can find and support me on Patreon or through my website, www.ordinarily-extraordinary.com, where you will find a tab which shows how you can support my podcast through a few different ways. Your support helps keep this podcast going and gets more women's stories out to the world. We talk a lot about representation and the importance of seeing women in STEM fields, which is what this podcast does. Your support is really important. So on to today's podcast. Today, we are in for a real treat. My guest today is Asha Dubeja, who works in the energy industry as a strategy and innovation executive. With a bachelor's degree in biology and an MBA, Asha quickly moved into the energy industry and found her passion in leadership and strategy. While she works at a large company, she has an entrepreneurial spirit and an empathetic leadership style. Both of these, I think, are just incredibly important. Asha shares how she used her education as the basis of her career journey and talks about the importance of family and friends as she moved into motherhood and taking on increasingly higher positions in her work life. She really talks about the importance of prioritization. I hope you enjoy her story.
I am really excited to have you on the podcast. I thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me. And I'm just delighted to spend some time hearing your story and getting to know you a little bit more. And so thank you for joining me.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
So I want to start with, what do you do at Schneider? What is your job?
Yeah, so at Schneider Electric, I lead strategy and innovation for one of our global divisions called Power Systems and Services. We're a group that really thinks about a sole solution offering for a customer. And we play in a lot of the big segments that are, you know, electricity and power centric heavy in terms of the offerings that we bring. And so this is a full digital hardware, software, and service solution that we bring forward for our customers in segments like oil and gas, power and grid or utilities, in the semiconductor space, in the EV space now with both EV battery manufacturing as well as EV charging, and then data centers as well. So quite a few industries that we're involved with globally. And my role is to really to think about both long-term and short-term strategies to help grow the business profitably. And also think through new innovations that we want to incubate and bring to market in the future. So that's what I do at Schneider Electric. Part of that is also knowing Schneider Electric for, I don't know if your audience knows Schneider Electric, but it's a company that really focuses in on electrification, digital solutions, but also with sustainability in mind. So we're a company that's very focused on bringing sustainable solutions that are contributing to decarbonization. And that is really built into the DNA of what we do every day.
I'm going to ask you a question that I think is hard. What is a typical day in your life? So there's like, your job is like the big piece and your title and things like that. But like, what does a typical day look like for you? If you, I mean, and I pick any typical day. I know they're not typical.
It varies. And, you know, I think in my role, you know, I also do think about strategic partnerships, M&As. So it could be, you know, considering and work meeting with a startup or an established company that we want to create a partnership with. So having a discussion with them about how there's maybe some synergies or opportunities to work together and really aligning on strategically where we want to go. It could be working with a commercial team in a specific country to say how well are we penetrating? And we do a lot in strategy based on data. We look at where we are and how well we're performing against what our targets were and what our ambitions are. And then really try to dissect and understand whether the performance is going well or not well. So calls that are related to that and really trying to understand, you know, where are kind of in my... The leader that I work with, Fred, he always speaks about strategy as kind of that alert for him on, you know, where are parts of the business that we really need to focus on more, or maybe take a deeper dive in. And then I also work on you know, building relationships with peers. A lot of what I do is transversal. So I sit in a very large division that has a huge scope, but a lot of the work that we manage, it really sits across and really requires me to collaborate transversely with quite a few big divisions. So spend a lot of time on alignment and building collaboration and share and building a shared vision that we can also go and communicate and drive. So I'd say it really varies. And I am very people oriented. So I spend a lot of time with my team, spend a lot of time trying to, you know, understand, you know, how they are doing personally, but also how what's happening in their work, any issues, risks, or bottlenecks that they're facing. So I would say that's probably a good reflection of a day, which is a lot of variety, I would say, but I tend to like a lot of variety and I like big challenges. So it's a great opportunity.
How many people do you have that are like in your group? Or, and I'm going to go with like direct reports and then like within like your group going down. And how have you found that as you have like moved up in leadership roles to be?
Yeah, I have about a little over a dozen team members that are directly reporting to me now. And then sub team wise, probably closer to 30 to 40 people. And when it comes to, I think overall leadership, that has grown over time, but the concepts and the fundamentals of really staying connected and close to my team, which is really important to me, has always been the same. So I think it's, you know, dedicating time, really being accessible, having the willingness to listen, and being inclusive and empathetic based on the situations that each team member is managing. So, you know, on my team, there's a lot of different scopes that different individuals are managing, and being able to understand, you know, what the strengths that they bring to the table and how to manage that has been really important. So I think the fundamentals of that have started since I took on a leadership role pretty early in my career. It does continue to expand as the scope of that has expanded as well.
So I want to ask about your career path. So you have a degree and you have a business degree and a master's in business and came into a technical area and STEM area through the business route. Tell me about that path and how you ended up in a STEM field from a business background.
Yeah, so I actually have a double major in biology and business. I started my college thinking that I wanted to do something in the medical field, but I think very smartly took on a role or a job in a hospital and started to kind of learn about the ecosystem. And then based on what I was exposed to, I love the aspect of helping people and really contributing in that sense. But I didn't necessarily find myself drawn towards the day-to-day work. And so I quickly kind of pivoted to add business. And I found a really good, strong marriage of kind of what I appreciated and liked, which was science, but also kind of how to apply that in different ways through business, through the knowledge of science through business. And so I shifted my career. I actually joined a pharmaceutical company as my first year and job coming out of college. And that was a great marriage of kind of the healthcare system, but also with a business background. I started in their finance team and I was doing contracting, pricing, operational work. And then, you know, through my network, I met someone that worked at Accenture. So I joined Accenture in their technology and management consulting group for health and life science clients. It was pharmaceutical, biotech, med device companies. And I started to do work that was related to business in a much broader sense of the industry, looking at ways that I could help support companies in their growth plans, in their trajectories, whether it was implementing a new software, whether it was defining new business processes and new opportunities within the company, thinking about knowledge management and change management as we introduce new technology into a business that really changes how you manage and run your business. So thinking about how to really drive a change mindset within companies that were really looking to build bigger and better, could scale faster profitably. And so I did that for quite a few clients and, you know, learned in a very quick and fast way through the consulting world And then towards the end of my career there, I was doing more strategy work. So I moved more into a strategy role with Accenture strategy team, supporting the same clients, but looking more at portfolio analysis, kind of thinking about overall investments. How do you think about your career as it, how do you think about your business as you're trying to grow it, as you think about competition, the political ramifications, you know, regional expansion, and what it takes to really drive and can, you know, create a strategy for a business to grow. And I did that for some time, and then I started a family. So that was the point where I decided it was a time to change my career. And through my network, again, I joined a private equity company based in Dallas where I am. And I became a product manager for Power in the telecom and networking space. So a really big shift in terms of industry, but really taking on a role that was much more strategic in terms of owning my own P&L, my own product line. And here, what was interesting is that that role really taught me a lot about industrial manufacturing, the full end-to-end life cycle of product management, marketing and thought leadership and launching new products, deploying them to the market successfully. And more importantly, working with an R&D team, a quality team, and a customer service team to be able to create a product from scratch and kind of be able to deliver it to the market. So that was really kind of my first foray into the STEM world, directly working on products outside of what I was doing at, you know, pharmaceutical space, which was product oriented, but more technology and digitally oriented. And so from that, I really, you know, the company that I was part of, private equity, was purchased by GE. So I moved into General Electric. And there I took on a different role, which was a combination of strategy and marketing, and did a lot of different things, whether, you know, creating thought leadership, supporting, you know, web, social media interaction, thinking about the overall growth plan of the company, looking at M&A and partnerships, really, you know, taking on a very different type of role, but for multiple different divisions within the company. And at that point, GE, you know, a few years after I'd done that, GE announced that they were going to be divesting that business. And so that's when I left and I joined Schneider Electric. And in Schneider, you know, definitely an industrial manufacturing company, but, you know, a strong market leader, a strong technology leader, who's always been focused on innovation. And so it seemed like a company that I was very attracted to, especially for their vision and mission. I think there was something that I, you know, the conversations I had with leadership at Schneider Electric made me excited for the future. And that's why I joined the company and stayed with the company. I've had a few roles since I've joined Schneider, you know, being a channel leader, working on commercial transformation, working on IoT solution, and now leading strategy and innovation for one of our divisions. So in that, you know, I've had exposure to agile methodology, business transformation, hardware and software development, as well as the overall product lifecycle, industrial manufacturing as well. So really fascinating opportunity that I've had throughout my career, and grateful for that.
So I want to ask from a standpoint, I'm going to go back to kind of like earlier in your career, and you said something that I think is really interesting. So you said that you left the consulting world when you started a family, which I did consulting for a few years. And I think it can be really hard from a standpoint of being, of like wanting to start a family, because it's so time intensive and very travel intensive. And so are those kind of the reasons that you left and decided to go someplace else? Because it was just like, I think it's almost unsustainable for young women that want to have a family.
I would say for me personally, my husband was also a consultant. So just from a dynamic of a family and what we had decided for our own selves, how we wanted to raise our family, that was the right decision for me at the time. I did have a lot of colleagues in consulting that were very successful and, you know, kind of managing their family and doing consulting. It is a very intensive type of work. I personally love doing it because the level of learning and the amount of exposure that you get is unprecedented. But I think that, you know, for me at the time, it was just more of a personal kind of conviction that my husband and I had agreed to. And, you know, for me, family is the number one priority. So it just made sense that that was the decision that I personally wanted to make. And that's why I moved forward with it. But luckily, I didn't feel like it, you know, making that change really negatively affected my career. To this point, I'm sure it's probably, you know, it's taken it in a very different direction, actually. So sometimes I think those are tough decisions to make. And I think different women have made different decisions at that time. But yeah, for me, it was really around making sure that family was a priority and that I could devote the time that I needed to and be there during the time that I needed to be there.
Yeah, I think what you said about women make a million different decisions, right? And what works for one woman doesn't work for another woman. And I was reflecting on this a couple of days ago. My son, my youngest, turned 18, and which is weird. I've got three kids, 25, 21, and 18. And I'm, you know, I was thinking about, because I like to reflect on, like, how did I do as a mom, right? Not that I'm done momming, but the intense part, I would say, is more or less over. And I'm like, I think one of the things that's hard is, like, you question your own decisions at the time. You get, you know, so you have your own mom guilt, and then you have guilt from, like, other women, other people in general, society pressure, people who aren't moms, you know, like, you just, like, there's so much pressure. And I think it's such a hard decision as to, like, what do you do? You know, do you stay at home? Do you change jobs? Do you work part-time? Do you work full-time? I would have been a horrible stay-at-home mom. I would not have been a good mom if I was home all the time. But did you have anything like that? Like, when you were, like, making, like, trying to, like, wrestle through those decisions? I think, you know, like, for, like, podcast listeners and stuff, they're at different points in their lives and in their careers. And I think it's such a hard decision. And I don't know that there's ever a time that you're like, yes, this is the exact right thing to do. But did you have clarity on that? Or did you also kind of, like, wrestle through all of those decisions when you were making them?
Yeah, no, I think, you know, every decision was at a point in time, and it really depended on, you know, what was happening in my life around that time, whether or not, you know, I would move forward with something or not, right? So, and I think there's amazing, talented women, you know, all over the world. And you're right, everybody approaches it a little different. I made a choice very early in my career that I was going to do what was best for me and my family. And I was going to be okay with that. And sometimes that choice was hard to make because, you know, you see what other people are doing and you're trying to, you know, understand why you made a different choice. But for me, it was always a discussion. And I've had a great support system around me that has helped me always, you know, really think through what was going to be best for me, for my family, and for my extended family as well. So I'm very fortunate to kind of live here in Dallas, where I have a strong network around me. We have family support, we have friend support, and that has always been a huge factor in my decision. And part of the reason that you know, we haven't relocated, because a lot of great opportunities came with the caveat of relocation, which at this point were things, tough choices to make. So yes, I think it's always been you know, I don't think any choice is ever easy. But I think, you know, the advice that I would give is just make the best decision at that point in time and move forward. And that's what I've always chosen to do. And like I said, you know, try my best not to do a comparison, which is, I think, very hard for us to do when we see what's happening around us, especially with social media and other platforms. But I think that's probably the best way that I found to manage it.
When you talk about having a strong support system, you reminded me of something that Monica had actually told me when I was talking with her on my podcast, which was one of the most important decisions that you can make is who your partner or spouse is. So when you talk about having a support system, did you have, like, a supportive spouse? And I mean, it kind of sounds like you do.
I definitely do. My spouse is, you know, someone that I've been with for years. We've known each other since high school, so we had a long time together. But you know, he is my biggest supporter, but I think more importantly, he's my biggest cheerleader. So having that type of dynamic where someone that sees your potential, pushes you to reach potential, and does what it takes to support you in the background is really important. But I also have, you know, here both sets of grandparents, siblings, you know, cousins. So it's really, truly an extended network of support that gives me a lot of trust and flexibility in terms of some of the decisions that I can make from a career that I don't think everybody has, right? So I feel very blessed to have that kind of structure around me and in a really strong group of friends that I've grown up with as well, who are constant kind of reminders and, you know, kind of reminding me, they know my core set of values and they're like, does this fit that core set of values, right? Not having that, also that core group of girlfriends that have helped me and supported me in terms of being at that crossroads and trying to make the right decision at that point. So feel very blessed. I think, you know, that's a kind of a unique situation. And a lot of people that I run into that are professionals, you know, always tell me like, that's a very unique situation to have a support system like that in place that enables me to make some of those career moves that I can and make the time commitment as well.
So I love the fact that you said that you have this core group of girlfriends that keep you grounded in your core values, because I don't know that always happens with friends and girlfriends. And so I live a couple of hours from Minneapolis, which is like where I have been for like the last, I don't know, 20 some years, but then we moved away. And once a month I go down and have dinner with two of my engineering best friends. They're episodes 1 and 2 of my podcast. They help me like lunch this. And I think that there are those like few people that you can have those connections with that can really help you with those decisions and walking through those decisions. And I don't know that it's always, you know, I don't know if like for you, is it asking, you know, like, what do you think about this? Or is it them providing feedback of like, hey, like, what are you doing? This doesn't necessarily fit with, you know, what I've heard your values are. Or, and I know it's not really, there's no formality to it, right? But like, how does that work with your girlfriends? Because I think that that's a really, it sounds like a really great relationship to have with a friend group.
Yeah, I mean, and I think it doesn't necessarily have to be a friend group. It can be a really strong mentor or sponsor or, you know, someone that you trust, that you see, you know, in a community organization or organization that you really align with. But I think it's just very natural. I mean, these are individuals that you know, I know a lot about their lives. They know a lot about my life and you know, what it takes to be successful. Some of them are in business and some of them are not, you know. So it's also good to have the dynamic of, you know, mm-hmm. a friend that's in like in the medical field and is like, okay, I don't understand why you would have to do something like this, right? And doesn't sit, you know, why would somebody ask this of you? Or, and just being able to bounce off. But it's really just, I think sharing scenarios and not everything, of course, you know, but just sharing those major scenarios where you have someone that will really listen and give you feedback based on what they know about you and how successful they've seen you be, or maybe areas where they've seen you struggle in the past, and just remind you of that consistently. So I think that's it is, like I said, a blessing to have both my husband and friends and family around that really help support and that have that open. But I do, you know, and part of that is just building that connection and that willingness to kind of talk through something. Being a little bit vulnerable enables you to kind of see what those options are. And so that's what I would say, is find someone that you can be vulnerable with, that you can really express what you're feeling and thinking, to have that type of conversation with, because I think you'll get the best feedback at that point.
Yeah, it sounds like you have a very strong village. That's like my term for, you know, like they say, take a village to raise a child. I like to say like takes a village to like raise a human or raise an engineer or whatever it is. Like it takes a village. Like you need a good village at different places. And so it sounds like you have a really good village.
I'm always curious how different women
balance family life and career. I'm curious, how many kids do you have?
I have two daughters that are 13 and 12 years old, and my son is 7 years old. He just turned seven.
Okay. So you're in the thick of it.
Yes, we're definitely in the middle stage of parenting. Super fun. They keep us busy. We do a lot together, a lot of activities. But it's a joy.
And probably a lot of driving, because you're at the age your kids aren't driving yet, and probably a lot of activities that you have to drive them to.
For sure. We spend a lot of time together in the car at games, at practices, and school events, and at family events. So,
what about your parents? What did or do your parents do, and how much of an impact did that have on what you wanted to do in life?
So my mom was a nurse, so she was in healthcare, which is why I originally thought, you know, healthcare was probably the direction I wanted to go. And my dad was an accountant, so he was more on the business side, very numbers driven, very numbers oriented. And I think, you know, I grew up in America, was born and brought up as an American, but I have an Indian heritage. So part of, you know, what I had to reconcile was really the expectations that my parents had for me in terms of what were successful careers and what were not. And business was not necessarily high on the list of not that it was unsuccessful, but not necessarily their preference, right? So I think, you know, growing up, it was about making sure that I could find my voice, and while still having support, and I had a lot of support from my family. But I think that's always been something that I think I chuckle at now, because if you were to ask my parents, you know, what they thought was a successful career, I don't think any of them would have said like an industrial manufacturing company, right? But they know, and they see how you know, how my career has grown, and have been supportive of it since then. So
what kind of challenges have you had, or have you had challenges like throughout your career, and how did you overcome some of them?
Yeah, I mean, for sure, I've had challenges throughout my career. I think, you know, I am very introverted, actually, from a personal perspective, but I find myself in that hybrid role because I can be extroverted when I need to be, or when I'm trying to meet people. I love making personal connections, like meeting people for the fact and getting to know them, having conversations like this where I get to know a little bit more about you and you get to know a little bit more about me are really the ways that I like to build connections. And so I think that whole aspect of, you know, introversion and trying to manage that throughout my career, having a very different style from maybe some of the leaders, the traditional leadership that you've seen, you know, going through big companies like Accenture, GE, where leadership was taught in a way based on a specific style of leadership, and always trying to have to find my authentic self in that mix was a challenge. And that's been a challenge that I continue to have to remind myself that, you know, being authentically me and what I bring to the table is just as important as what another colleague would bring, maybe in a different manner. And so that's been probably one of the big challenges, I think, that I worked through earlier in my career. And I have to consistently remind myself of that and then go forward.
So, for me, so when you talk about you know, being able to be authentic and lead authentically, so I'm an electrical engineer. I've been an engineer for 30 years, which seems crazy to me. And like when I started out, I was very much like trying to fit in, trying to be one of the guys, very much like not authentic. And I think it's so, as I got older, it got to be so much more important to me to be able to be authentic and to be myself. Did you, and I know you said you struggle from like a leadership standpoint and that was challenging. How did you deal with that? And how did you, is it just like a decision that you make? Was there a point that you're like, realized that you weren't leading authentically, or how did that come about? And what was your mindset? And, you know, like, and how do you find yourself able to make sure that you are like, you know, showing up authentically? How does that work for you?
Yeah, I think there was a point in my career where, you know, I had a really great sponsor, mentor that was, you know, kind of coaching me. This started very early when I joined Accenture, in terms of, you know, feeling comfortable being who I was, but also making sure that my voice was heard. Because sometimes I think you know, having that ability to be direct when you need to be, while still having an authentic way about how you're communicating. And I found a great balance, I think, through that support and sponsorship and really someone that sat me down and really helped me. And I reached out for help as well to say, you know, what's that right balance that I can find and how do I make sure that I'm showing up, that I'm seen, that I'm visible while having a style that's maybe a little bit different from everyone else. And I was very fortunate to have someone that spent some time with me and showcased and really, you know, would come to me immediately after a meeting or after a session with a client and say, hey, this is what you could have done differently. Why don't you think about stating it this way? And so that built my confidence. And I think for all of us women, the more that we go through a situation or a scenario, building that confidence in yourself and your abilities really kind of takes that trajectory. And like I said, my husband has been my biggest cheerleader. And, you know, I think he, you know, has said, like, you know, he'll pull me aside and be like, look, you need to be, you know, he's like, don't hesitate to share that opinion or, you know, make sure that you're having that conversation, you know, make sure that you're reaching out. And so it's a good reminder to have someone that's, you know, also thinking about like, how well am I doing? But I have someone that I can talk to about my day, about things that are going well and things that are not going well. So it kind of comes back to that system of, you know, how well are you reflecting on how you're doing? And do you have people that give you very honest feedback about how to improve and how to get better? So I've always been fortunate, you know, to have people that are sponsors that have been looking out for me. And so I think that's helped quite a bit in terms of just trying to manage through that. But there was a point where, you know, I recognized that though I was approaching things very differently, it was effective and it was working. And the minute I saw that positive reinforcement, it really just encouraged me to continue to do it more and more. And when that started getting noticed from a leadership perspective, I think I understood that was a strength of mine and I needed to continue to develop that and leverage it to be successful. And that's where, you know, that strength has really helped me in terms of connecting with people and driving change, you know, taking very hard challenges and finding ways through them. And also really being able to be reflective about what's working and what's not working. So for me, it's been a little bit of trial and error, but there was a point where I felt like that a little bit of positive reinforcement was what kind of tipped it over the edge. So I hope everybody gets that opportunity to kind of see, you know, where their impact, where their authenticity is having a strong impact and really capitalize on it.
So for you, do you find that, you know, you talk about having a little bit of a different leadership style. Do you think that it's because you are, and I don't know exactly like how Schneider is, like how, you know, if it's mostly men, I'm going to guess it probably is because most places are. Do you think that part of that is because you're like, you know, women can and should, I think, lead differently than men do? Do you think it's partly because of that? Do you think it's, you know, some other reason? And then the other thing that you made me think of is like, I think even if you don't have a sponsor or a mentor that's in meetings with you, one of the things that I have been thinking about is, you know, you could ask people that you work with to provide feedback to you. And I think that that's, I don't know that we do that enough. I mean, it has to be someone that you trust and that you value your opinion, you have a good relationship with, because you don't want someone just slamming you, right? You want it to be like constructive feedback. Anyway, so very two different questions, but like, what are your thoughts on that from like a leadership standpoint?
Yeah, so to your first point about the diversity of Schneider is actually a very diverse company from a gender perspective, but also culturally. I think they make it's a huge point myself as well when I think about my own team, the diverse thoughts and opinions that I want from different parts of the world, different experiences. You know, diversity doesn't just mean, you know, race or gender. It means experience in terms of what you bring to the table. So I think that Schneider has done a fantastic job of, you know, continuing to build diversity. We have one of the most diverse boards in our sector. And so it's something that I'm very proud of and I continue to push. So no, I don't think that, you know, and I think that at Schneider as well, we have a lot of strong women leaders with very different types of leadership styles. So I think what I see at Schneider is leaders are rewarded based on the outcomes that they drive, but also on how well their teams are performing and how well people are engaged at the company, right? So that's a big portion of how leadership is measured. From a sponsorship feedback perspective or coworker perspective, I think that's, you know, a great point that you bring up is you don't necessarily have to seek out someone that's a leader. You can ask someone that you're, that you have a strong relationship with, and have a candid conversation with them. And this is where vulnerability comes back in, which is you have to say, hey, I think I need to work on something like this, or I've gotten some feedback that this is one of my development areas. Would you be willing to work with me or give me some pointers as you see them? And it's almost like we have exercise buddies. We have people that we, coaches that we take with us, you know, counselors or therapists that you might use throughout your life. There's nothing wrong with finding someone that can help you succeed in your career. And I think, you know, the best thing to do is to try it, right? I mean, the worst you can do is try that and it doesn't help. And then you move on to like a different method. But definitely, I think it's a great.
Or a different person.
Yeah, different person could be it as well, right? So,
what are you most proud of in your career so far?
I think what I'm most proud of is the connections that I've built with the teams that I lead. I think that's what I'm very focused on people. It's what drives me. I have a passion for developing people. And so for myself, I think I'm proud of just the way that I've led teams and the way that I've helped team members grow their own career and grow themselves. And the way that, you know, I've approached leadership, not from a top down, but really from a understand and decide decision-making point, but not, you know, what I say goes. And so I think for me, it's really being someone that I think others want to work with and someone that I can help others really grow and build themselves.
One thing that I like to talk about, especially like in STEM fields, I think people view people who work in STEM as like nerdy and, you know, like not so much that our jobs are all encompassing, but I think it's like one facet. What kinds of things do you do for fun or for relaxation and things like that, like outside of work? What's your outside of work life look like?
Yeah, no, I focus quite a bit on wellness, you know, making sure that I'm active, doing different activities, you know, with my family and with friends. I like to read fiction. So if I'm reading, I think you'll see behind me this bookshelf.
You have a lot of books.
A lot of books that are just stories. I love to read and kind of get lost in imagination and in different worlds. So very curious in that sense. I also volunteer. I volunteer at an organization called Dallas CASA, a court-appointed special advocate. So I represent a child that's been in the foster system as a volunteer, as an advocate for that child. And a great way for me to give back with my time and talents to really help someone. And so those are probably the things that I love to travel. And I'm a foodie. So we tend to try a lot of different types of food, different restaurants, and love to kind of see the world and the diversity around the world as well.
Well, and there's, I mean, you could foodie and travel go together like pretty well. Like,
yeah.
That's a great way to experience other cultures is through their food. What's your favorite place that you've been to?
Great question. I think recently my family and I took a trip to Costa Rica this summer. We went with another family and it was just an amazing experience of both nature, food, and just a very friendly culture. And so I would say that's probably one of the top ones on the list. So that was really fun and a unique way to kind of experience the country.
Yeah, there's definitely not any better way than to be around local people and to actually like be part of their culture versus like the tourist when you know, kind of like see it, kind of almost feel like through a picture window versus being able to like be invited inside. So that's awesome. Is there anything that you would tell your younger self? If you could go back and tell your younger self something or advice you'd give yourself?
I think what I would say is don't be afraid to make adjustments as you go. There's no perfect way to manage life. Life just happens. And I think that that's, you know, sometimes, you know, I would be a little bit hard on myself to be like, well, why didn't you think about this? Or why didn't you approach it this way? And you know, some choices that needed to be made. But I think just, you know, live life with the best information, the best knowledge you have, and don't be afraid to make adjustments as you go. So I've had to do that quite a bit. I think flexibility is probably the number one important thing for me as a working mom, is to have a schedule where I can kind of determine what I need to do when, but make sure that I'm delivering, you know, above expectations. And I think that's, for me, you know, that ability to make adjustments and be flexible has really enabled me. So early in my career, you know, I would hesitate a little bit to ask for something that was outside the norm, but I quickly found the courage to do that as a working mom. I think that being a working mom really kind of forced me to have to look for adjustments. And I think, so that's what I would say, is just try to do that sooner.
What excites you for the future, or what goals do you have?
I think for the future, you know, there's so much going on in technology, in both in terms of how it's being leveraged to drive energy more efficiently. When I think about the sustainability agenda and how well we're thinking about big problems and really breaking it down, I think, you know, artificial intelligence kind of brings a whole different realm to how we tackle big problems and how quickly we can tackle big problems. And, you know, I think as well, we have a globe that's evolving, and we have quite a bit to manage in terms of how do we take care of each other. And I think there's been becoming more and more of a focus on how do we take care of each other as people and our own wellness and our own health as we try to continue to grow and expand. So that's what excites me.
Is there anything that we haven't talked about that you want to share?
I think the one thing, you know, as a leader, as a person, that I think is something that's kind of, you know, one of those core things that we talked about in the beginning, is really to think about what strengths you bring and how to leverage those strengths in the best way. I think, you know, if whether you're thinking about a team structure, whether you're thinking about delivering a project, whether you're thinking about a role that you can play in your family or your support system, you know, knowing what you bring to the table and knowing what you're passionate about is so important to seeing good results and finding that, I think, you know, comfort and ability to know that you're giving the best that you can in any situation. So I see a lot of people focused on the things that they don't have, but what you do have, how do you capitalize on that? And how do you bring it to the table? How do you make others see that as well, and leverage that to the best of their abilities? So I would say that's, you know, that's the one thing, one of those core things that I take with me. And you know, we're not all going to be strong on everything, but what we are strong on, there's a purpose for that. And I think it's finding that purpose and using it to the best of your ability is really important.
I think what you just said is so important in so many, in probably every aspect of our lives, of like focusing on what we do have as opposed to what we don't have in everything. Like, I think that that's just such, We could all be so much happier, I think, and more fulfilled if we did that in pretty much every aspect. Is there any advice that you would give to a girl or a young woman thinking about going into STEM?
I think the possibilities are endless. You don't have to necessarily define yourself as, you know, an engineer, a business person, a supply chain type of profile. You really should just take a step forward and see where life takes you. That's really, I've been so fortunate to kind of be able to do so many things in my career, just based on being able to be open to new possibilities and new ideas. So I would say, you know, take a step in and then see where things go. And don't be afraid to look for other options if the one that you're in is not the right one for you at that moment.
Yeah, great advice. I have absolutely loved talking with you today. This has been so great. I'm so glad that we connected. I'm so glad that Monica put me in contact with you. And I love the work that you're doing and the leadership that you have and the leadership style that you seem to bring. I think it's really absolutely wonderful. And I'm so glad that I got to talk with you.
Thank you, Kathy. I really admire what you're doing, which is really highlighting, you know, the everyday person and what we bring to the table. And I really appreciate you taking this time and inviting me here. I look forward to staying connected.
Yeah, me too. Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed this episode and Asha's story. If you enjoyed the episode, I'd like to ask you to do a couple of things, which are really important to getting these women's stories out to more people and increasing representation of women in STEM. First, share an episode you like with a friend. Second, go to Apple Podcasts or Spotify and rate my podcast. Or even better, if you can write a review, that would be great. And third, subscribe or follow my podcast by going to your favorite podcast platform and click the plus button or the follow button. That way, you'll never miss an episode. Lastly, you can find me, Kathy Nelson, at www.ordinarily-extraordinary.com or email me at ordinarilyextraordinarypod@gmail.com. You can also find me on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn, where you can find me by searching for my podcast. Please reach out to me. I hope to hear from you. And please join me for future episodes. Thank you.